News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is an author of 8 books. He's a nurse practitioner with 2 master's degrees and a doctorate degree in public health and wellness. At 81 years young, he remains the longest living lung cancer survivor. Here to share how he beat this deadly disease and offer some proactive steps you can take to prevent becoming a statistic. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carl Helvey. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Helvey.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, great to have you. Now, you are a 39-year lung cancer survivor after being given 6 months to live. You beat it using natural methods, and here you are enjoying life at 81 years of young. And being in the medical field, why did you choose alternative interventions instead of the conventional medical route?
Well, I had seen a lot of people that had been debilitated as a result of chemo, surgery, and radiation, and also I had a strong faith in God, and I went for a diagnosis as a result of a dream, and I believe that dreams are one way that God speaks with us. So I didn't want to make a snap decision. I wanted to come home and pray about it and watch my dreams and make a rational decision. And so everything pointed to using natural interventions.
That's great. And you have the title of being the longest living lung cancer survivor after 6 months of being, you know, told that's all you had. How did you get that title?
Well, I searched the internet, and Longevity is one of the sites, and they have most of the lung cancer patients go there, and they thought 10 years was a long time for survival. But I found a man that was considered the longest surviving lung cancer patient. And he died in 2010 and was diagnosed in 1974. So 72, I'm sorry, 2 years before me. And since he had died, I figured I must be, and no one has challenged it. So,
right. Now, share with us a few things that you added or subtracted from your daily regimen when you found out the diagnosis.
Well, one thing I added was a better diet. The doctor told me to use, it was a vegan-type diet. I had 75% raw fruit and vegetables, some additional cooked ones. I could have nuts and grains, but no meat, no carbohydrate. So I thought he was very progressive, considering this was 39 years ago, and this is now pretty much standard practice. I took Laetril. I took pancreatic enzymes. I took high doses of vitamin A. I was taking 300,000 international units daily for the first week, then 200,000, and then I dropped 50,000 for a year. And as you know, 5,000 is the recommended daily allowance, and also it's fat soluble, so it's stored in the fat. So I was a little concerned about that, but he told me that the high dose vitamin E would help take care of the toxicity. So I also took vitamin C. I took zinc, which is the carrier for the Laetril. I took...
Explain, you mentioned Laetril. Make sure people realize that you're not talking about a drug, for those not knowing. That's a B vitamin.
Correct? Right. Laetril was considered vitamin B17, and the theory is that cancer is a nutritional deficiency, and that if people take the vitamin B17, it will take care of the cancer. And the traditional literature will say that it has cyanide in it, it will kill you, it will send you to the emergency unit. But what they don't say is that it requires certain enzymes to activate the cyanide, and the cancer cells have that enzyme, but normal cells do not. So it is very specific for cancer cells, but the does not affect the normal cells. And I took it for 2 years, and I also ate the 25 apricot kernels every day. Had no side effects, so I know that it does not hurt individuals to take it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're here living proof of that.
Right.
And yeah, so your regimen is you know, walking proof. Now, experts, you know, I've talked to so many doctors about cancer, and they can't agree on the cause. Some blame genetics, animal products. Some say it's viral, while others say the culprit is environmental. What's your opinion? If you had to really pick and say the culprit, what is it?
Well, being a public health person, I subscribe to multiple factors. And so I think that there is a nutritional aspect, but I think that there are other pollutants, like smoking is a pollutant. Mm-hmm. And 89% of all lung cancer has a direct relationship to cigarette smoking, and another 3% have a direct relationship to secondary smoke. And then there's radon, which is another chemical. So I think that there are chemicals. I think there are all kinds of pollutants. I think we have nutritional imbalances in our body. And so I think that it's in multiple factors that lead up to it. And it requires multiple interventions, not only keeping our immune system up and keeping the toxins out of the body, but also dealing with mental and the spiritual aspects of ourselves as human beings.
Right. Now, you were diagnosed with lung cancer. Did you have symptoms, or was it found just in routine testing? And also, you mentioned smoking. Were you a smoker prior to that?
Yes, I was a smoker, and also I went to the doctor as a result of having a dream, and I pay attention to dreams because I believe that that's one way that God speaks with us, if we listen. Right. And so I went, but I didn't have any symptoms, but then they did the x-rays, and then they found a spot, and they did the biopsies, and they diagnosed it as lung cancer.
And they gave you 6 months to live. And then did you go back and say, ha-ha, look what I did? And what was their reaction?
Actually, I went back to my doctor every 6 months for x-rays, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything because I had seen the alternative doctor in Vienna, Virginia, and he had told me what to take as far as the physical aspect, the Laetril and the pancreatic enzymes, et cetera. But he didn't mention anything about mental, spiritual. I added those on my own. But the doctor thought that we were just in a wait-and-see mode. So I went to him and got x-rays, because at that time that was about the only way you could follow the progress of lung cancer. And after 2 years, when the spot was gone, he said, well, he guessed he made the wrong diagnosis. So my friend, who was the professor of pediatrics when I taught at Duke, and at this point, he's the medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield for the state of North Carolina. And he wanted to see the biopsy and the x-rays and everything. So I took it all to North Carolina, and he reviewed it. And he said, yes, it definitely was lung cancer.
Wow. And I so you beat the disease, and that. He came back and said, well, maybe, he said, maybe I was wrong and you didn't have it. And you said, no, here's the proof that I did. He didn't want to admit that you did something naturally. That's interesting.
No. Right.
Yeah, that's great. And then now, have your medical colleagues and nursing family and friends, have they reacted positively to your decision?
No, they did not. My mother said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, and then you can do these other things. And I knew that she thought she was doing the right thing. And my colleagues, most of them wouldn't even talk about it, but they all were so ingrained into doing what the doctor says that, you know, they couldn't fathom anything other than traditional. And even I stood up in class one day, I was sitting in on a colleague's class on cancer, and she talked about all the traditional. And I asked if I could tell my story, which I did, and the students all were very excited about the possibility of natural intervention. But the class of the professor said, well, I couldn't subscribe to
it. Just got a few seconds. So a few seconds left.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your very inspiring story with us today. And to get a copy of You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, go to Amazon.com. And for more information about Dr. Helvey, you can go to beatlungcancer.net. That's beatlungcancer.net. You're listening to Your Good Health Radio. I'm Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Stay well and stay tuned.